Hello and welcome to Quote Unquote Guilty, the only guilty pleasure podcast with air quotes in the title. I am your host, Joe Ketchum, and I'm joined today by Johnny Stahl.
Hey, this one's going to hurt.
It's going to hurt so bad, but I've been so excited about it.
Whose guilty pleasure is this?
Mine.
Yours?
It just became one.
Oh.
Very recent.
To look into Flat Earth or not to expound upon Flat Earth?
Yeah, because we're talking about Flat Earth theory, which is this entire subculture of people who believe the Earth is flat.
Wholeheartedly.
Believe it.
Like, it's not a troll. It's not a...
Nope, they're not being
contrarians.
Ironic.
Yeah.
Yeah, they believe the Earth is flat, and we'll get into the reasons why. And I think how I was first exposed to this, that it was a real thing, I think you might have mentioned it at one point. It's like, yeah, there's an actual group of people who believe this. And I'm like, that's interesting. But someone posted on Facebook, this guy who took a level on an airplane.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yes. Okay.
He took a level on an airplane and made a stop motion video of the level on the airplane, and it never fluctuated. So the plane never went up or down to accommodate the curve of the Earth. So the Earth must be flat.
Right. And this is a pretty common flat Earth,
quote unquote, experiment.
Yes. To prove the flatness of the Earth is that if you were really flying on a curved surface, at some point you'd have to point down in order to accommodate for that. And it's just a gross misunderstanding of gravity.
And you can go and watch the video. Maybe I can find it and put it in the show notes. I'm going to put a lot of links in the show notes this week.
Hopefully in different fonts and in different colors. And
of course. I don't know if you can do that on Apple Podcasts, but I'm going to try.
That's how I always know I've run into something batshit crazy on the internet, is it's just multiple fonts, multiple colors, and lots of caps.
It's all over the place. But even if you watch this video with the level, like, you can see it. You can see the bubble fluctuating. Like, I'm not sure what he's looking at, but I see a general, like, curvature in his level, like, as the plane adjusts.
And moves around, yeah.
Obviously, that could just be the plane going up and down altitude, but it certainly does not stay flat the entire time.
No. I don't know how you want to start this, man. Unpacking this bad boy is going to be kind of rough.
I mean, it's all pretty crazy, so I think we'll just probably jump around until our brains melt.
Yeah.
Whatever pops into our head, because I don't have, like, cohesive notes for this one.
It's not a cohesive idea.
Yeah.
It's actually... So we can talk about some of the history of Flat Earth, because I teach science. It is one of the things I do in my life. So I talk about
trade.
It is the trade craft. As Joe teaches the English, I teach physics and engineering. So
yes.
I often
We're
talk
a
about
real odd couple.
Yay! We met through theater.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, I was theater curious, and next thing in college, I tried it, and here I am.
Went through his bi theater phase.
I haven't done a show in a long time now.
Me either.
Yeah.
It's been years.
Yeah. So I talk about pseudoscience a lot. So Flat Earth is one of the things I talk about. Usually when we hit gravity. When we talk about energy, I talk about homeopathy. I mean, I've got my targets, man.
But it's funny you mentioned talking about Flat Earth in class as a fake science.
Yeah.
It occurred to me watching the videos over the last week, and I messaged a friend of mine who teaches at Western,
mm-hmm.
Who's actually been on the show, Jason Lenz. I was like, have you looked at any Flat Earth stuff? And he's like, yeah, it's pretty entertaining. Why? I was like, it's a great, like, confirmation bias.
Oh, it is fantastic.
Because it's all people believing what they want to believe and dismissing what they don't want to believe.
It really
is. That applies to an incredible array of arguments. And we're all, I think, guilty of confirmation bias to some extent. So it's really a great way to illustrate that with something that's batshit insane.
Oh, yeah.
It's like an extreme, the most extreme confirmation bias I can think of.
It's up there. I can think of some other ones in the pseudoscience realm.
Sure.
But I mean, if you think about your human experience, we're prone to it, right? Because you've grown up with a set of knowledge that has successfully gotten you this far in life, right? So here I'm going to give you some information that contradicts this. So what can you do? You either got to reevaluate everything you've ever known in your life, or you can dismiss the new information, right? It's kind of logical from that standpoint, but no, Flat Earth is just fucking batshit crazy.
I like thinking about it in scientific terms. Like, okay, let's imagine if this was real.
It's a great place to start, right?
Yeah. So maybe we should get into some of the reasons why people believe the Earth is flat.
A lot of what I see usually starts with my senses. You go outside, you look around, the Earth is, you know, the Earth doesn't look like it's curved.
Yeah, you look, even if you go to the ocean, a lake, and you look out at the horizon, it looks flat.
Yeah.
And if you go up on a mountain, the horizon looks flat. And if you go up in a balloon, the horizon looks flat.
If you're in an airplane, the horizon looks flat.
And scientists would argue that that is because the Earth is very, very large, and you have to go much, much higher to perceive the curvature of the Earth.
About 40,000 feet is when you'll start to notice the curvature, when it will become observational. But most commercial airplanes, I don't think, give above 36,000 feet.
Oh, that seems high, really.
I mean, that I think FAA says you can't go higher than that.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the highest you can go, then mm-hmm. that makes sense. And you know, a flat earther would look at that as like awfully convenient. Oh, you have to get to 40,000 feet, and a commercial airline only goes to 36,000 feet?
Globalist conspiracy!
Yeah.
And the answer to any unanswered question is always the globalists, right? It's a conspiracy.
Yeah.
That's my other favorite part of Flat Earth.
Is the conspiracy theory?
Everything is a conspiracy theory.
Which we'll get to, for sure.
Oh, it's so great.
Because once you get high enough to perceive the curvature of the Earth, then those photos are photoshopped.
Yes. Or a distortion of the lenses. That's the other one I hear a lot. Yeah. If you see it, the cameras have a lens on them, and that lens is distorting the light. That's why it looks curved.
Yep.
You're like, wank, wank,
and
wank.
Pictures taken from space are all
fake.
Photoshopped,
all fake.
There's no space program. There's no International Space Station.
Did you ever
there's
find
no
out?
Satellites.
Did you find out why? Have you gotten that answer yet?
Well, I mean, most people believe that there is a firmament over the Earth, a dome.
Yep.
So you cannot escape the dome, so you cannot go into outer space. But I think they still believe you can do, like, low Earth orbit. Like, they think that is real.
That depends on... There's no coherent orthodoxy to this.
Right.
If you read one website, they'll give you that information. Another website will say, no, you can't have any satellites. And another one will be like, you can do low stuff, but not super high stuff. They're all over the place.
So. Yeah.
How you get into it is kind of, I think, pretty varied. There's also a religious, some people are religiously related to it.
I have noticed an increasing mentioning of religion as regards to this. Because, you know, when you get down, like, even on this video I watched, I was telling you before, we were recorded by Stefan Molyneux, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Ooh.
And I'll put this video in the show notes as well, because he runs, like, this YouTube channel where people call in with their science questions or weird conspiracy theories, or I think a lot of the stuff is religious.
Mm-hmm.
And he just scientifically tries to break that down and talk to them about it and say, well, that doesn't make sense because of this, this, and this. And the Flat Earth video was fascinating to me.
I haven't watched it, and I need to. It sounds like a really good one.
This serial killer sounding motherfucker calls in talking about Flat Earth, and he talks like this. And, well, there's just no way there could be a curvature, because
the one I see is there is at 1 mile an 8-inch dip in the curvature for a round Earth, and then after that's all I always
yeah.
remember, like, you would notice that.
I mean, listening to this guy talk, I'm gonna have nightmares about it.
Oh my
He's
God,
watching me while I sleep.
But we were talking about the reasons people believe flat Earth. Is that where we were starting?
Yeah,
here?
I was going somewhere with
the
Molyneux video. Now I don't know what it was.
Well, we're just like flat earthers. Oh, religious. The religious
the
element
religious
of it.
Element, yes. And one thing, he points out, like, there's a lot of evidence to support the globe theory. And, you know, why do you believe this? Or why would you assume that all this evidence to the contrary is manufactured? And the one thing he says is, like, I don't want to believe that I'm a speck of dust on a bigger speck of dust in an infinite void. Like, if the Earth is the center of the universe and the sun revolves around it, and it's unique among all of the structures in the sky as this flat disk with a dome, that is evidence of intelligent design, and it makes us feel special.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you prove flat Earth, that
then
would be, like, absolute evidence that there is a creator.
That's a great point.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I could definitely see people getting that, because it is scary when you start to think about the human race is the blue marble. That's the Carl Sagan when they launched one of the Voyager probes.
Could
I can't remember which probe, and he had them task back and then take a photo of the Earth.
Yeah.
and they took it, and that's where you get what's called the blue marble. And there's a whole Carl Sagan speech around the blue marble about, look at this speck in the sky. Every human that has ever lived has ever been on this speck. Everybody who's ever loved and ever died and ever done anything is right here. This is us in this picture. All of human history.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very, like, humbling speech, and a very, where he puts together this idea that we are small in an infinite universe. And I can see people, they don't like that. That's hard to say that. Does your life have meaning if you just live on a tiny little ball that goes around another ball that goes around a bigger ball? Or is it better to think that you live on a flat earth that was made just for you?
Yeah, that's what it is. It makes them feel special. And it's too overwhelming to consider the heliocentric alternative.
I could see that.
Yeah, it makes sense. I can see, like, human fear driving people to religion, and this being kind of along the same lines.
This is a great explanation that makes you not feel so tiny in a giant universe.
Exactly. Another reason flat earthers believe the earth is flat is, or at least that they believe it's motionless, is that they can't feel the earth moving.
That's a great one. I wanted to address that.
Yeah. We cannot feel the earth rotating. We cannot feel it shooting through space around the sun. So it must be stationary.
And here's the misconception that really we need to break. And this is where I say just learn some science. Is you cannot feel how fast you move. You cannot sense velocity.
Oh, that's... Yeah, I didn't really think about it. Because you sense wind moving around you. Mm-hmm. You sense...
You get a sense, you can only feel a change in your motion. So speeding up, slowing down, that you can feel. But if you've ever ridden in an airplane, and you're in the airplane, you feel that initial acceleration, you're pushed back, and then you get in the sky, and if I said, how fast are you going? If you can, because a lot of people say, yeah, I can feel how fast I move. And I say, well, how fast are you going in an airplane? When all the windows are shut around you, you can't see the ground, how fast are you going? If you can feel how fast you're moving, you should be able to say, oh, I feel like I'm moving 300 miles an hour.
Yeah.
No.
But it stabilizes once you're...
Yeah, once everything is moving...
No longer does it change in motion.
Yep. Once everything is in motion, you cannot feel how much or how fast you're moving.
A change in acceleration.
Yep.
Yeah.
You can feel acceleration because that's a push or a pull on you. We could go into the technical details, but you can only feel really changes in your velocity. So that's what acceleration is, change in velocity. That you can sense. That's where you feel heavier or lighter, say like in an elevator, when you push the button to go up and you're in like, say, one of those turbo elevators and suddenly you feel crushed by the elevator. That's the acceleration. But once it moves to its constant rate, you can't tell that you're moving in an elevator. Sometimes you feel a little jolt or a little bump. But again, that's a change in your velocity. That's what you're feeling. So
kind of makes me want to try skydiving. Like, once you get over the initial thing and it stabilizes, you're probably probably pretty amazing.
All you feel is the wind. You feel a lot of the wind once you hit terminal velocity.
Yeah,
I have skydived. I have gone skydiving, Joe.
What is terminal velocity when you jump? How fast are you going?
About 125 miles per hour for the human body.
That doesn't seem so bad.
No. What happens is, as you fall, there is air between you and the ground, right?
Yeah.
And you have to physically plow that air out of your way.
Yeah.
So it's not free to move that air. You have to push to do that. So gravity's pulling you downwards. Some of that force is being used to push you out of the way. So at some point, gravity's pulling you down faster and faster and faster, but some of that pull or push ends up pushing air out of the way. And so once you're pushing air as fast as you can move it out of the way, you're forced downwards, and the force to plow, it's called drag, the force of friction against you as you fall, equal each other, and you fall at a constant velocity. And so you get the wind in your face, but you don't feel an acceleration. When you jump out of the airplane, you feel it. Oh, man, it's like stepping on a stair in the middle of the night where you just, like, you're falling nothing. And you're like, ooh, your stomach falls out from under you.
That's what I can't quite get past with the idea of going skydiving, is the initial fall.
It goes against every instinct in your body.
To jump out of the plane.
To jump out of an airplane. Yeah, yeah. That's part of the fun of it, where every instinct is saying, this is fucking stupid. Don't fucking do this. Why would you do this?
It does remind me of something else with flat earth theory, is that they think gravity doesn't exist.
That depends.
There's no need for gravity if we're on a stable, flat plane just sitting on a rock somewhere.
Here's where I'm saying that you can read different...
Mostly what I've seen, they
is this the density theory?
There's no gravity because there's no need for gravity. And then you get into the whole, if you take a tennis ball and dump water on it, water doesn't stick to the ball, so water can't stick to the earth with gravity, quote-unquote gravity.
Oh my god.
I saw that experiment.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, it's like someone took a tennis ball and dumped some water. I was like, look, earth must be flat.
Oh,
and again, the earth is very, very, very big.
Oh.
And it creates these forces.
Oh my god.
This attraction between a very, very big object and a very, very tiny object.
Okay, so let's get into some scientific definitions right now. So there's hypothesis, theories, and laws. All right?
Yes.
So it's good to know how these go, because a lot of flat earthers really, really F these definitions up. A law is something that we observe in nature. So we observe that when you drop something, it falls to the ground. But there seems to be this thing, we call it gravity. And then we try to explain that. What is the mechanism behind it? How does it work? What are the rules to gravity? And that's called a hypothesis. That's your conjecture about how things work. And here's the rules for a hypothesis. Hypotheses have to explain the phenomena, one. Two, they have to be predictive. So your hypothesis has to say, well, okay, it applies to this situation, it works really well, let's take it to another situation. How does my idea hold up? Does it predict anything? And then the third thing is it has to be disprovable. You can never prove a hypothesis correct. You can only disprove a hypothesis.
Okay.
All right. So the hypothesis, one of the hypotheses for gravity is mass attracts mass. Stuff that is made of stuff just seems to stick together. It's a really, really weak attraction. It's the weakest of the natural forces that you could find. But that's our idea. That's, well, the Newtonian idea. We could start talking about Einstein's idea. But Newtonian idea is mass attracts mass. They stick to each other. A theory is once you have tested a hypothesis and it has not yet been disproven, then it becomes a theory. So it's predictive. Like Newton's idea of mass attracts mass, you can start explaining how the solar system works from that idea. You can start explaining how planets formed from that idea. You can make a lot of explanations. Then that's it. That's really a theory. All right. So law is the general observation. And then hypothesis is the idea, how it works. And then theory is the tested version of the hypothesis that hasn't yet to be disproven. And they fucked that up a lot. So usually most of the flat earth, so you could start out, I'm okay saying the earth is flat. That's your hypothesis. That's your explanation for the world.
And you're trying to disprove it.
Right.
You should be trying to disprove it.
But with flat earth theory, here's where they get it wrong, is it's only ever provable, never disprovable. That's how a conspiracy theory works. Yeah. Conspiracy theories are never disprovable. They're only provable. Right. So that's the difference between a conspiracy theory and kind of a regular kind of theory.
It's fascinating to me. And maybe we should talk about why they believe there's this massive cover up for the flat earth.
What I've read and keep running into is that it is there's two reasons I've seen. The first one I've seen is that it's about money, about greed. So NASA gets a budget of $19 billion budget.
Yeah, which we should talk about NASA's budget.
Or $92 billion? No, what is NASA's budget?
It's pathetic. Like, I saw, it's not very much. Let's say $30 billion a year. They had the number on one of the videos I watched. It's like $27 billion.
It's not a lot of money.
It seems like a lot of money. And the guy was saying, I wonder why, they would lie about this when they get $27 billion a year. It's like, do you have any idea how much it costs to convince everyone the earth is round when actually it's not?
Well,
I can't imagine the number it would take
to build and put a satellite into space. I mean, the low estimate is around $300 million to do something like that. If you were going to send a probe to Mars, it's about $300 million.
Okay,
on the cheap.
You're really rushing it.
if you're trying, yeah.
This dollar menu.
Yep. Well, because I tell a story to my classes about having to write down units, and we lost a probe that we sent to Mars called the Mars Climate Orbiter. It was one of the most expensive failures of NASA. And basically what happened was they didn't write down units, and they sent some calculations of how to get the probe into the orbit of Mars to Lockheed Martin, who does everything in feet, pounds, and inches.
Oh.
And NASA is a metric company, but nobody wrote any units down, so they just crashed this probe into Mars. It took 2 years to get there. It cost $347 million. They just, because nobody said, hey, I'm using the metric system. And the other guy said, okay, well, we'll work with that then. fucking wasted $300. Yeah.
But the idea is
It's expensive to put things into space.
Yeah, but even if NASA was taking their $30 billion and just like, distributing amongst their employees and making themselves all crazy fucking rich, it doesn't go a long way given how much there has to go into staging around Earth.
Well, and then also that would also mean Russia and China and all these other countries.
Every country has to be in on it.
So, okay, so that's your theory, right?
Yeah.
then that means everybody's in on it. And if everybody's in on it, there must be a world government that we don't know about.
Then. Yeah, there must be, because and
this is the only way to keep the conspiracy.
Must orchestrate all of our wars and strife. Like, actually, there's world peace. Actually, all the countries get along just fine, and they're devoted to keeping the secret of the flat Earth.
The other one I've seen, like, why would the globalist conspiracy want to maintain a flat Earth? Is this a mind control thing? If they can convince you of that the very basic observations you could make in life are wrong, right? I could look outside and see that the Earth is flat. But if the globalists convince you, no, the Earth is round, they can convince you of anything then, right? That's the point. That there are, well, there's only four lights, you're convinced there are five. Star Trek reference.
Some people believe that the flat Earth is infinite, too.
That...
because, like, you get to the edge, which Antarctica is the edge of the entire
planet. It's an ice wall, right?
Yeah, it's an ice wall.
That's the answer to why all the water doesn't fall off the Earth.
Yes, there's an ice wall around the entire planet, so that's the water Antarctica. Doesn't fall off. That's Antarctica. But some people believe that is infinite, and there's not a firmament. It's just, it's infinite, and there's other, like, kind of planet-sized lands out there beyond the wall.
That one's, I think, more fringe. I don't usually see that one.
Yeah, I don't know how frequent it is, but I came across it on the Flat Earth Assholes YouTube page.
I spent a lot of time on flatearth.org.
Okay. I think the Flat Earth Asshole discards the Flat Earth Society, the flatearth.org.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, does
that
he?
Might be a separate thing.
Well, I don't know. The Flat Earth Society...
He's not a fan of the Flat Earth Society.
Yeah.
He thinks they're a bunch of crackpots.
Yeah.
For whatever reason.
All other Flat Earth, or the way it breaks down, that every denomination, I guess, of Flat Earth thinks the other one is nuts.
Every sect.
Because I was reading, the flatearth.org people think that all religious-related Flat Earthing is all crackpot. That's all garbage, and they're absolutely wrong. And then, like, this other group, no, we're right, you're wrong. But they at least all agree that the Earth is flat.
Yeah, they have that basis. Like, all Christians believe in Christ being the Son of Jesus or Son of God.
Right.
But all
they have to kill each other because you don't do it right.
Yeah. The other details. You're not talking to the God baby right.
Right. Which is all one thing because we can't be pantheistic.
Yeah.
Right. That's where I start having problems wrapping my head around. Like, we don't need to pick on religion right now. That's for another podcast, I guess. But they have to believe that that God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus are actually all one thing.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't, then it's polytheism and...
Yeah, well, we can't have that. There's one true God. He just has three forms.
But that's why a lot of evangelicals...
And it's definitely a he with a penis.
With a super penis. And if you worship the right part of it enough, you get to go there and suck that God penis.
I don't mean to sound like I'm criticizing religion. It's just an example.
The idea of religion?
Yeah, because I'm fascinated by religion.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not religious, but I think it's really interesting, you know, to believe something so completely. And kind of why I'm so drawn to flat earth theory. I was like, just these people believing it so completely is amazing to me.
That they would go out and do experiments? Mm-hmm. The trench experiment? Have you seen that one?
No.
The idea of the flat earth is actually pretty old. I mean, a lot of ancient cultures had thought the earth was flat. I mean, you kind of look through, I mean, all of them pretty much were, earth is flat. And then it's really when you get to the Greeks that they start to go, that doesn't make a lot of sense from what we're seeing in the world. And that would be like Aristotle. That was about the time that they were like, yeah, I think just kind of logically, the Earth would have to be round for some of the things that we observe to work, like how the stars and the sun and the moon. It is probably round. So then Greek culture or the Greek idea of things kind of takes hold in that area. And then, so it never really goes away. The Romans take over the Greeks, so they kind of pick that up. Then after Rome kind of falls apart, the Catholic Church rises out of the ashes of Rome, and they take all these Aristotelian ideas about around Earth into it. But it's always that the Earth is at the center of the universe. So and the Earth can't be the thing that's moving, right? The Earth has to be still because you don't feel like you're moving.
Right.
And, well, Earth is really heavy, right? I mean, it's got a lot of...
It's like 80
it's
pounds.
It's really heavy. And we live in a world with friction, so if you put anything in motion, eventually it comes to a stop. And what they think, the line of logic is, the Earth is so big and heavy, what would keep it turning? What force would keep the Earth a spinning since it's so heavy?
Right.
And this is where it's not until the Renaissance that they come up with a really good answer to that. And it's something we call inertia, that it turns out that mass will just keep moving. It keeps its state of motion. So if you get something in motion, it moves at the same velocity till you push or pull it.
Yes.
So if you could throw a baseball into space, it would go forever and ever and ever and ever. It would never just kind of like stop.
There's no friction. There's no friction. Other force acting on it.
And yeah, we live in a world where there's friction on everything. I mean, there's drag from the air. If you touch the surface of a table, it's eventually going to stop things. But if you take the ancients' idea that, yeah, it makes sense, right? That the Earth is super heavy, it'd be what force would keep it spinning? So, okay. It's kind of logical from that framework to be like, okay, the Earth sits at the center and is still. But then you got to explain things like, how does the moon keep going around the Earth then? Right? Clearly the moon moves around the Earth. And this is something that Flat Earth also has a big issue with. How do you work the sun and moon?
Yeah, I mean, and this gets into some really interesting ways that should immediately disprove it.
Oh,
nope.
Oh, no. They
are good.
Whole hog.
They're good to go. Even with the sun and moon. Okay, so flat earthers believe that the sun is only 3,000 miles away from the Earth.
I've seen different numbers.
3,000 to 5,000 miles away from the Earth, and it's only about 30 miles across.
Yes.
So it's much smaller and closer than you think it is.
It
floats above the equator and goes around in a circle around the Earth.
Have you seen the animated GIFs for it?
For what?
They've got some animated GIFs about how they think the sun and moon go around. They are batshit crazy.
There was a video arguing against flat Earth theory, and it had a lot of like animated things like, this is how the things must work if the Earth is flat.
Yeah.
So it had a lot of, animation and stuff.
Well, because my big thought when I was like, wait, the sun just... Okay, so in the flat Earth map, in the flat Earth topology, Antarctica, where Santa Claus lives... Not Antarctica. The Arctic.
The North Pole.
The North Pole, where Santa Claus lives, is the center of the world.
Yes.
That is the bullseye of the world.
That's the center of the world, and everything else spreads out from there.
Yep. And then the sun and moon have to go around the what would generally be the middle, or where we think of the equator. So yes, they kind of go around what would be the center of the map.
Yes.
Right? And they go around in circles and circles and circles. How do you ever get night then?
Yeah, that's the other thing. If the sun's that close, only 3,000 miles away and just floating above the Earth and going around in a circle, it should never be nighttime.
Yeah, there would always be light on the Earth.
Especially since the Earth is flat. You should be able to see it 3,000
miles
off. There's
no terrain to block
where it is on Earth.
There's no way to block the sunlight. So this is where I'm saying the animated GIFs are insane, because somehow the light just stops halfway. Yeah,
they believe that light does not actually go on forever.
Yeah, that's a theory called tired light.
Tired light.
Yep. When they were working on how light works, that was one of the early ideas about light, is that maybe it just peters out after a while. But that goes in against something called conservation of energy, and it's a law that we always seem to see that energy is what we call conserved. You can't create or destroy energy. So if you have this,
it doesn't
thing,
intensify
or diminish yes. until it hits something. So we've never seen light just peter out.
I haven't seen anyone explain how the light just happens to be far enough away that as the sun goes over the horizon, we stop seeing it or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, it's still, we can see the sun set over the horizon, which a flat earther, because...
Say there is no horizon.
There is no horizon. I've watched the people say that when you launch a rocket, it's weird that it goes all the way, you see it curve all the way over and go and crash into
the ocean.
Into
the ocean, yeah.
But it goes over the horizon.
Yeah.
So does the sun crash into the ocean every night?
The other explanation that they get into when you start to run into those things is that everybody's observation is relative. So we all will see different things based on our observation. They're absolutely cool with that. Well, it gets batshit crazy.
Bullshit.
Oh, yeah. Right? At some point, you have to be like, well, where did the sun go over the horizon? Why is there a horizon? I can see, literally watch the sun vanish from the sky.
Yeah.
Piece at a time until it's gone, right? How does, and it's like, well, but if you were over on the other side of the sun, because you could be on the other side of the sun in a flat Earth model.
Oh, yeah.
Like, right? Because the flat Earth, the sun would just be at like the middle of the equator. So say you were in South America, you would see something different, and they're kind of all cool with that. just like, here's the other thing that they have a problem with. So one of the things that flat earthers really hate about the idea of a circular Earth is that there are people upside down from you, like in Australia.
Yeah.
How
is that possible?
Yeah. People are standing underneath you. Well, here's the thing about the moon, right, that people don't think about. In Australia, they see the moon upside down from what we see it up here, right? The graders and the moon, of course, upside down from what we see.
Yeah.
Just the same as the star constellations are different down there.
Yeah.
And
the star constellations rotate in a different direction.
And there's different seasons, too.
Like, that was something that came up in one of the anti-flat Earth videos. Like, how do you explain that? It's like, you're in the north. You can see these constellations every day. They're rotating. You can see them rotate. And you're in the south. They rotate a different direction. If it's a flat Earth, that seems impossible to me.
Right.
I haven't heard an explanation for that.
no good explanations from that either. And so, yeah, the moon's upside down. And so they try to explain it like, well, it's an observation thing.
Yeah.
It's not it gets really convoluted when they have to start explaining that kind of stuff. Like, what happens to the star constellations? If we're living on a flat Earth, we should all see the same freaking star constellations.
Right.
Oh, yeah. It gets. And then the eclipse, because.
Oh yes,
we just got done with the 2017 eclipse, and the flat earthers were out in force beforehand telling us how NASA was going to be wrong and how there's no way they could predict this correct path of this eclipse.
Even though there was another eclipse like 20 years ago, like a really complete one.
Right. But there was a guy, I can't remember when he lived, 18 somethings, I think. He spent pretty much his whole life working out when eclipses would happen. He worked out like 1,000 years worth of eclipses.
Okay.
This pretty much was his whole career and whole life was just grinding out when eclipses would happen around the Earth. So we have good predictions of when eclipses are going to take place.
To the minute. Like, we knew to the minute wherever you were when the sun was going to eclipse.
Yes. But in a flat Earth model, how do you explain an eclipse?
Well, they have some interesting ideas on how the sun eclipsed.
Hit me, Joe. I should have brought a mouth guard for this.
One was like that NASA turned off the sun or something like that. Because here's the weird thing to me about it. It's like you watch the eclipse. It's supposedly the moon eclipsing the sun.
Which can't happen in a flat Earth model.
Right.
Let's just be right up with that, right?
It can't happen in a flat Earth model. Yes.
If the sun and the moon are the exact same height...
Well, I haven't heard that the moon is 3,000 miles.
Okay. Well, I don't know where
they're... In fact, I've heard that the moon is further away than the sun.
I see a lot... The one that I saw that tried to explain the best had to say that the sun and the moon's elevation do change. They're not fixed at... They go up and down over time.
That's probably how they explain
seasons. That's exactly how they explain seasons. Is that sometimes the sun is far away... But that doesn't make any... Well, I guess that could make sense because it would have to be on... If you imagined it moved in a circle, but that circle was tipped. So, like, in Australia, the sun gets a little closer, and then it moves away. And when you get to North America...
Oh, and then the thing rotates? Like, the tip rotates?
Yeah, so it's not planar. It's not level. It's kind of tipped, so sometimes the sun is closer to the southern hemisphere and then further away in the northern hemisphere. Then you get summer in the southern hemisphere.
It doesn't explain why we have shorter days in the winter and longer days in the summer, though.
Shut the fuck up, Joe. You're clearly part of the globalist conspiracy.
I'm such a globetard, I have to admit. I don't know. I've only heard the numbers on the sun. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they believe the moon is, if it's closer and it can eclipse. But most of the videos I saw about the eclipse from Flat Earth was that it just wasn't the moon eclipsing the sun.
I've heard some of that, yes.
Most of them I watched didn't have any explanation for why the sun goes out. But they're like, that's not the moon I'm looking at, and I can't see a moon. Look, it moves out of the way of the sun. There's still no moon there.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, the sun is really fucking bright.
And the other side of it is that we only see the moon because it reflects sunlight.
Yeah, which they don't.
Which, how could you see that side of the moon if it's in front of the sun, right? There's no sunlight to bounce off of it.
Well, they believe the moon is its own
produces
light source.
I've read that theory, too.
Yeah.
And they did. Oh, man, this was the rough one I was reading. I just like was just reeling. I don't even know how to begin with it. They said, well, if you take a thermometer out at night and you put it in the shade and you read the temperature, then you take it out into the open in the clear sky and into the moonlight, the thermometer will be colder, which that proves that the light that the moon gives off is a cold light, which is different than the type of light the sun gives off, which is a hot light. Because
I'm surprised I didn't put it together myself.
So fucking obvious, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe...
It's not that you took this thermometer and put it out under the open sky where it had no insulation and the heat could dissipate much easier, where if you have it in the shade or under an enclosure at night...
The moon's not a mirror reflecting the sunlight. It is a rock that's just reflecting light, this minuscule amount of light from the sun.
Yes. As the other planets do, too, which we can see. So I don't know how they explain... I guess other planets must give out light as well.
Yeah, I guess so. I think other planets might be their own light source or whatever.
Have you read the hologram theory?
Or holograms?
Have you read the hologram theory?
I haven't read anything.
About okay, there's another one that says that the moon, it's just a hologram on the firmament.
The moon is fake.
It's all a hologram. That's how they could have an eclipse, because they just programmed it into it. Like, you live in a Truman-style dome
I don't understand how the moon can be a hologram if, like, it's existed for all time. So all of our ancestors going back to forever has been like, hey, look, there's a moon in the sky. Has it always been a hologram?
Usually if that's your theory, then you run into some really other nutty things, too.
Yeah, like where, aliens.
Yes. We live in a topiary and aliens watch us and masturbate. I don't, for whatever purpose, like, look at them do
it. I mean, we are awfully sexy. As a race of people?
In every science fiction genre that I know of, humans are always fucking every alien.
This reminds me of a weird thing I came across with Flat Earth early in my travels. Where it was like, what was the kind? It was like, this guy pointed out that there's very few movies about us sending things into outer space that aren't complete science fiction. Like, we have Apollo 13.
Yeah.
Like, I think he had one other example.
Oh, that's a good point.
And I was like, okay, but what does that prove?
Right.
Like, other than space travel is kind of boring when you get down to it.
And hard, right? Would it be a really exciting movie to watch about satellites being put into orbit? We're launching the next communication satellites. Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can watch live shuttle dockings. There was like when SpaceX's Dragon docked with the space shuttle, and it was like a big moment because it was the first time a commercial satellite had docked with a government.
That's all fabricated, Johnny. They made all that up.
I know.
They did that in Microsoft Paint.
That's why it looks so shitty.
Yeah.
I should have known.
I'm glad I'm here to help you through this.
Oh, man.
And have you heard the Photoshop argument? The cut and paste clouds argument?
Yes. I saw that where they're like, look at this cloud. It's the exact same as this cloud. I'm like, or weather patterns have certain predictable shapes.
Or, you know, it's a composite of multiple photographs, you know.
And sometimes they overlap. And that's true, too. It's not like when we take a picture of, like Google Earth. You zoom in on Google Earth, which I haven't heard how that conspiracy works. No. Right? Because Google must be in on it, too, to build a Google Earth.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's in on it.
Yeah. And they take these satellite images, which I can look at the Earth from space and literally zoom in down to my house. I'm not sure how that works either. But
yeah, that's the thing is, you know,
at some point,
something has to be taking pictures of the actual Earth because you can zoom in. And like, I can zoom in my house and see like the people who lived here before me, their car in the driveway.
Yeah.
They had a boat and a bunch of toys. Like, they had kids, so there's a bunch of toys littering the yard.
How
are they doing this magic? They're showing me my house.
Right. And so
from space.
From I can start at space and then move in by image by image by image.
You can zoom right in on it. It's not live, it's a year old more. It's more than
and it's a composite of different type, because you can see like you can sometimes see like over here took the satellite image in fall winter, and then this is like over here is in spring and so the leaves are green and over here there. And you can see it's a composite. So you're right. A lot of this is explained by composite imagery where you're like, oh look, this cloud is the exact same cloud over here. Also, I'm all like, a lot of times weather patterns look the same. Right? There are certain shapes that are going to show up again and again and again.
Yeah.
So it's not a mystery. Like, there are specific types of clouds.
I also want to go back to talk about the movement of the sun.
Oh.
Because this is maybe the most fascinating part of the whole thing to me.
They spend a lot of time having to explain the movement of the sun and how you get eclipses.
And I would love to see, I don't know if anyone, a flat earther, has put together a model of the earth that actually explains all this. I doubt it.
No.
I don't imagine it's possible. No. A lot of them just say, yeah, all the maps are wrong. And, you know,
we get a lot of that too. We don't have to explain it.
Yeah.
You're wrong. I don't have to tell you how my idea works.
Yeah.
But your idea is
the
wrong.
The burden of proof is on you, Globetard. Show me the curvature.
Yeah.
Okay, well, go up in a spaceship that you don't
fake, fake, fake. Yeah.
But the sun, I watched this really interesting video, and I can credit this one, too. This is Cool Hard Logic on YouTube. They put together a three-part video called Testing Flat Tards, which I'm not a fan of the phrase, the term flat tard or globe tard.
I mean, you had a whole episode with dealing with Philip about how it's not appropriate to use.
It's not appropriate.
Yeah.
So if you want to argue, you know, scientifically why the earth has to be round or the earth has to be flat, go for it. You don't have to resort to name calling.
Yeah.
That being said, it was a really interesting video because, and especially the part about the sun, the sun's movement, because wherever you are, the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. But if you look at a flat earth model and if you are further north or south, it should greatly affect where the sun rises and sets.
Yes. Right, because if it is truly that way, right, if you were in Australia, for instance, further away from the equator or closer to the equator, yeah, where it comes in on the horizon would be different.
Yeah.
Substantially
different.
Yeah.
Because that's another thing he points out, is like when you flatten the Earth into a map, kind of like they use the United Nations map as a map.
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't make any sense. And again, this is where they'll say the maps are all wrong. The further south you get, the further you get away from the North Pole, the more distorted relative sizes of countries and
continents are,
relations between those countries, distances between countries get to the point where you can very quickly see, like, that doesn't make any sense. We know how far it is from this point in Australia to this point in South America. Mm-hmm. And on this map, it has to be like twice as far.
Right. Because when you flatten that out, the edges, the distance from like one, what they call a chord to another in one spot to another is longer than if you were to go inwards, right? That would put Europe and North America really close, but then you're right, South America to Australia would be dramatically larger. Yeah, it doesn't make any fucking sense.
I was also wondering, because if the Earth is flat, you should be able to stand at sea level, like at the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe with some sort of eye amplification, see Europe. You can see a really long way, but are they saying that because it's night over there?
Or the light gets tired?
The light has tired out.
Yeah, it's petered out. It's just, you know.
I don't know. That's always struck me as odd because there's tons of videos of people like standing on Lake Ontario and seeing Toronto and going, look, Earth is flat.
Oh, those are the worst. or how can a river flow on a round Earth? I'm like... like a deflating balloon. This hurts my brain. This is what I was telling you. One of the early experiments was the trench model. One of the early flat earthers dug a 6 mile long trench, poured water into it, had this watered trench, and he tried to make it as level as possible. He said, look, the water doesn't pool up on the ends as it would have to in a round earth.
Why would it have to pool up on the ends?
It's a mixture of... Here's the best I can conceptualize it. If you believe wholeheartedly in a flat earth, a lot of them can't then bend their thought process to what a round earth would look like. They're stuck in this flat earth model. So gravity pulls straight down.
Yeah.
So then they apply that straight down idea to a round earth. So if you think about what round, you've got this dip in the earth's curvature, and then if you apply a straight down idea of gravity, then the water would have to pool down at the bottoms of the curve.
Okay.
But
what they're not taking into account is that gravity pulls towards the center of the globe.
And so,
not just down.
Right.
Down.
So that is what we call normal to the Earth's surface at any particular point.
That's where you get the gyroscope argument, too. It's like if you're in a plane with a gyroscope and it stays level, in a round Earth, you should fly off into space. But no, it's just level in relation to the center of the planet. So as it goes around the curvature, it remains, quote-unquote, level.
And this is the thing about velocity. Since we are all on a turning Earth, all moving at the same speed, if you start a gyroscope, it is also in motion. It doesn't suddenly become disconnected from the reference frame of the Earth. It's suddenly not like, poof. Here's the other part that that our ancestors have had a hard time with, and people still struggle with this idea. There is no zero velocity point in the universe. There's no place you can just stick a flag in and say, this is the truest stationary point. Everything is in motion to everything.
That's a really good point, yeah.
And it's a hard, very hard idea to struggle with. And you're like, well, can't we just put a flag in space and call that zero? Can't we just call this nothing, this zero? It's in motion with us. Yeah. How would you stop its motion?
Because even if you're floating in space and it feels like you're motionless, it's kind of like being on Earth and feeling like you're motionless.
You are in motion.
But in order to be in space, in orbit, you are actually moving quite fast to escape the Earth's gravity.
So our ancestors struggled with this. And that's why it was one of the once we had a heliocentric model with the sun in the middle, it became very disconcerting for our ancestors because they were like, wait, if we're in motion, then where do we reference zero velocity to? Mm-hmm. And then we said, well, what about the sun? That was the early one. And then we realized that the sun was also in motion. And then we're like, well, what about the center? We didn't know about galaxy until, I'd say, in the 1920s is where we start to label out that there is a we are in a galaxy and not just a sun with planets just sitting in the nothingness. This is this structure, this grouping called a galaxy. That's about 1920 is when we realized that that structure of a galaxy exists. And then we go, well, but now there's galaxies of galaxies. And so there is no reference point to say that's a true zero because everything is in motion with everything else.
This, by the way, we talked about the rockets shooting up and crashing into the ocean.
Yes.
This is why they curve off.
Yes.
The rockets don't shoot straight up because that's not how it works. You are actually kind of hurling the rocket around the Earth at such a speed that it has to maintain that speed once it's outside the atmosphere to keep in orbit.
So the Earth turns, right? So the Earth is rotating, right? We'll go with the Globetard model.
For shits and giggles,
go with the globe-tarded model for the moment.
What if
the let's put our headspace, we'll headcanon this,
it's not. I'm convinced.
Okay, you're flat Earth. You're in.
I'm totally in. But let's just say for funsies,
that the Earth is turning. So there'd be three ways that you could launch a rocket in a turny Earth model, right? That would be you could launch with the direction you turn. You could launch straight up, or you could launch against the direction of your turn. So if you're going to try to escape Earth's gravity, you need to go fast, really, really fast. Sir Isaac Newton was able to calculate in his day, in like 1720, how fast you would have to be going to break the Earth's gravity. And he looked at the number and he said, there's no fucking way. I'm pretty sure he said it just like that.
That's an exact quote.
That is an exact quote from Sir Isaac Newton.
There's no fucking way.
He was a right bastard, too. No, I'm being serious. Sir Isaac Newton was a right bastard. We tell this story about, an apple hit him in the head, and he learned that. That's an absolute bullshit story. Yeah. He made up to kind of, like, see, it sounded good, but it wasn't a real story.
I was fucking this bitch.
No, he claimed to be a virgin his whole life.
Oh, that's right. I did.
He did claim virginity, which is not something we would claim nowadays, right? We'd be like,
we wouldn't brag about that nowadays.
Dude, I never banged a girl. Or dude. You don't have to, right? I've never done it with nobody. And everybody's like, oh. Yeah, there's a bunch. I know a lot about Sir Isaac Newton. But so we worked out those numbers. We've known what it takes to get things into orbit. And so the idea is that you have to go really fast. And if the Earth is turning and you shoot a rocket against the Earth's motion, the relative velocity of the rocket to the Earth is faster. And you actually need less oomph because you are going faster because the Earth turns out from under you as you fly away.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And so it's easier to get escape velocity that way, to get to escape velocity. Because if you launch with the turn of the Earth, it's super hard. It's harder because you're going with the Earth is turning. The relative velocity between the two is shorter.
So they must always...
They always launch against the turn of the Earth. So they always launch not east to west.
That's the way,
west to east.
That's the way it turns.
Yeah.
So they must always launch...
Yeah, that's why it always looks like it goes out to the ocean.
So they launch east. They always launch east. Mm-hmm. Okay.
To take advantage of that relative difference in Earth's velocity to the rocket velocity. So they can get escape velocity and get out of the gravitational pull of the Earth. Or, in a flat Earth model, hit the firmament.
Which, I saw this in one video. I don't know how common this belief is. People believe that meteors that fall to Earth are parts of the firmament.
Like, oh, really?
Like breaking off and coming
I've never heard water. Of it. I guess I didn't Google enough to find it.
I heard that in one video. I think it might have been the Millionew video. I think the guy who calls in that is like, and he says, you know, what about meteors? What about the Grand Canyon that we believe was caused by a falling meteor? is that stage two is like, no, some people, he just says, like, no, some people believe that that is actually part of the firmament falling to earth. He's like, but it's, I've seen meteors, they're not translucent or anything. Wouldn't a firmament have to be translucent? No. Because the stars are an illusion.
Or shall we use the old term, the veiled pole? I prefer that term.
What, is that for the firmament?
The veiled pole. Yeah, that's what our ancestors, the old language that they used for the veiled pole. Because like it was thought that God would like we were parakeets in a cage and God would throw a blanket over us at night. That was one of the kind of the old ideas. And that the stars were holes in the curtain in the veiled pole.
Okay.
And the sun was on the outside of that curtain shining in. Don't think
sure.
about it too hard.
Sure, why not?
Sure. Well, the reference I can think of off the top of my head is The Poison Tree by William Blake. He has a line in there about the veiled pole. And that's where it comes from. But, I mean, it's an old reference.
Sure.
As a Shakespearean actor, Joe, I think you would be familiar with the customs and beliefs of people during their time.
Never come across did not research any veiled pole reference.
Oh.
That's, but I like it.
That's what I call my
very poetic.
That's what I call my penis in a pants. The veiled pole.
The veiled pole.
When I'm trying to seduce my wife and I asked her, do you want to work my veiled pole? The answer is always no.
What else did I want to bring up about this?
There is so much, man. You could just keep going to town. The history of flat earth, we could go a little bit more. We said that a lot of old cultures, original cultures, thought the earth was flat. It's kind of a census thing. You see, it looks, everything looks flat, sure.
Yeah.
But as the idea of the round earth is pretty much cemented in, it always been in Europe and in the Renaissance era. Even the Catholic Church had said the earth is round. It's just at the center of the universe. But at this point, you know, the universe isn't really big in their world.
Mm-hmm.
The universe consists of the earth, the moon, the sun, what they called the wandering stars. And that's the planets.
Right.
Because they happen to be stars that just kind of moved around, right? And then what they call the fixed stars or the veiled pole. That was the universe in this time period. And they had some, not stupid ideas about things, just incorrect ideas. So they said that the earth, one of the other rationales for the earth being stationary and the stars being fixed was what's called parallax. So the way that you judge depth perception is you have two eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you aim on something, so if you hold your finger up and aim on like your Iron Man mask I see in the back there, and then you close your other eye. So if you aim with both eyes open and then close one eye, your finger will shift out of line, right? Between one eye to the other. And that's what's called parallax as part of our depth perception. It looks like it shifted from one place to the other. The logic was that if I look at the star, a star at some time period in the sky, and then I wait a couple months, and I look at that same star again, it should shift position a little bit. Like, it should observe parallax, because I'll be looking at it like a two observations, just at different times. And the stars' reference to each other should look like they shift, but they don't. And so that was, like, one of the arguments that the stars did not move at all, is because, like, if I measure from one point, like in August, and then I measure again in November, the star references to each other should look shifted. But all our measurements show any relative shifts in the stars. They all look the same. So they said, we must be still, and the fixed stars are also still. The problem is the stars are really, really far away, and they do show parallax, but at just such a small amount, you need like modern telescopes to see it. You can't use like sextants and the technology that they had at the time.
Right.
So that's all part of like the history. And so we get into Renaissance era and they go, yeah, we got better math now. We're really trying to apply this math. And this is where we get Copernicus, who says, you know, he's a Polish mathematician and a devout Catholic. And he's trying to work out a mathematical model for the solar system that would explain the motion of all the wandering stars and the sun and the moon. And the model doesn't work until he puts the sun at the center. And then you have Mercury and Venus next, Earth. And then obviously the moon goes around the Earth. And then you have Mars, Jupiter, Saturn. And those are the visible planets without any telescopes. And his math works out a lot better. It is not perfect. Doesn't get it all nailed down, but it works a lot better. And he just kind of throws it out there. He's like, I'm not trying to be a heretic or nothing. I'm not trying to get myself burnt at the stake, but I was just doing some math and this just happens to work a little better.
Yeah.
And then fast forward about 20 years, Galileo picks up on that, and the I don't know why Italy was such a hotbed of like research and intelligence at the time, but they start to really start to question the Aristotelian models of things. And that's one of the things they start to point out, like, yeah, it really looks like that the Earth is not the center, that the sun is at the middle. And then so it starts to crack away at some of the old ideas about the some of these models. But
interesting.
So, yeah, but, oh, I was just babbling on about. But the flat Earth really doesn't take off again until about 1840. So everybody's pretty cool with a round Earth in a heliocentric universe. And then you get this kind of reaction to the Enlightenment era, where some people are like, stop telling me about all these big-headed ideas you got. I'm going back to what I can see must be real. And then I wrote down his name at one point, what his name was. I usually don't care to write down their names. But about 1846, I think this guy does his trench experiment. He goes, look, the water's not pulling up on the ends. And so then a society gets started around it, and it kind of ebbs and flows in its strength through the years. And right now we seem to be in a real high point for these flat earthers.
Sometime in the mid-90s, a documentary came on TV and I watched with my parents about flat earth.
Oh, really?
But it came out on April Fool's Day, and I'm still to this day pretty sure it was a joke.
A complete joke. A
mockumentary. It was done very earnestly. It was done very seriously. And I thought it was fascinating. It was like, yeah, the Earth is flat, and you're not going around the globe. You're going around it like on a dinner plate. And
yeah.
Like, oh, that's really funny.
Yeah.
And really fun to like think about the Earth in these terms. And
how would that look?
Oh,
yeah.
What a joke. Now, I'm wondering if it was a joke.
Oh my gosh. I can't tell. In the day that we live in, I have no idea if anything's satire anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
I really have no idea.
That could have been formative for me in terms of my sense of humor.
Sure.
And the way I perceive it. And now I don't even know if that was fake.
It's all fake, Joe. It's all globalist conspiracy.
I would love to find it. I don't know if it's on YouTube somewhere. But it was like, as far as I know, it was a fake documentary arguing that the Earth, and I don't think it was, because the one thing I remember from it is that, you know, pictures from space, it wasn't that, it argued that the Earth wasn't round, but it looked round because as the light was hitting the atmosphere from the sun, it was curving.
Yeah. It was an atmospheric distortion. That's why it looked.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, that's a good one. That's
but,
at least.
So they were saying that there is a space program, we can go into space, but it's still a flat Earth, which raises a whole bunch of other problems.
We still haven't addressed the big issue, Joe.
Oh, please.
What's on the other side of the Earth?
Yeah, because some people believe it's just sitting on like a plateau.
What's the plateau sitting on then?
I don't know, bigger.
Bigger Earth? Plateau? Earth 2?
Earth 2, yeah. I think some people believe it's floating in space, maybe. No, because then it would be moving.
One of the flat Earth theories that I've read, and this is, again, you can read a dozen different websites or watch a dozen different videos, and they'll have a different explanation. But one of them I read, and this is the flatearth.org explanation, is that we are on the flat Earth accelerating upwards at exactly the rate that gravity would be.
I did read that, or watched a video about it.
And so we are in a nothingness, but we are in constant acceleration upwards. Is it like when you're in an elevator and you push the button and you feel heavier? That's where your sense of weight comes from. There is no such thing as gravity. It's just that the Earth is in motion and you sense your acceleration. I'm like, that's actually based scientifically?
Yeah.
That's not like stupid. It's just applied to a stupid idea.
And then, you know, and then everything else must be in the same, going in the same direction at the same speed.
Yes. So everything stays relative to us and it's all cool. One of the oddball theories, well, the flatearth.org people are basically like, what's on the underside? Don't ask. You're never going to get there. So why bother to figure it out, right? Don't have any intellectual curiosity around that. The globalists probably know, but they don't want to tell you. It's fucking Cthulhu, man. It's just the elder gods are just hanging out down there playing chess or whatever and with our lives. Clash of the Titans
someone
style.
Speculated, I think it might have been the Flat Earth asshole again, because I watched a lot of his videos in the last few weeks. Because he believes, or he talks about the theory that the Earth is infinite.
Uh-huh.
And if you could get beyond Antarctica, you could get to all these other lands. And the reason why NASA would hide this from us is that things that are rare here might be plentiful in other areas.
Like gold or something?
Gold, silver, oil.
dwarves, elves,
which means that Narnia. Other creatures would have to live in these other planets too.
Oh, it's like a Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
So Rick and Morty in Flat Earth is this portal gun doesn't take him different places. Just it just takes
other parts of our
of the Flat Earth.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
So Rick and Morty.
But he was unclear on how NASA like ships this stuff in for their own benefit, or if they just want to keep it isolated.
Because if we explored it, we wouldn't be under control. Sometimes the reasons get real nebulous. That I mean,
he also, or someone pointed out that if you go to Antarctica, you will be
nobody has ever been turned away. Yes, yes, I saw that as well. Yeah. There are armed guards just.
Well, he doesn't think there's like a platoon of boats guarding Antarctica or anything like that, because the cool hard logic was like, okay, let's estimate about how many boats.
I was going to say, yeah, that would be insane.
And then Flat Earth asshole tore that theory apart expertly by saying, oh yeah, I guess we can only patrol the border with boats. Can't have planes in this model. I was like, okay, so it's 10,000 boats, planes, and other
and drones things, and yeah,
all manned by people. Oh, yeah, there's drones as well.
Now, yeah,
we could do drones now.
Robots, the really? Killer robots, the aliens. The
must be a lot easier to guard Antarctica since the invention of drones. Must be a lot more cost effective. NASA gets a much bigger piece of that sweet $30 billion pie.
But we can't stop Mexicans from coming in this country. We can guard the ice wall at Antarctica. That's where all our money's going. I just figured it out.
But what he said was, and it was right out of the conspiracy theory playbook, I was like, of course, have you heard of the CIA? They're listening to you through your cell phone. If I make plans to charter a boat to Antarctica, they're going to know about it and they're going to stop me. I was like, go ahead and try it. See if they stop you.
I would love for you to go.
I would love, and you don't need to charter a boat. Fucking charter a plane. Amelia Earhart flew around the planet in like a $20 plane. Surely you can get someone to fly you from the tip of South America over Antarctica to the tip of Africa and just see what happens. Way, way less expensive.
Yes.
And I doubt the CIA would give a shit.
I love the infinite eye theory, right? That you can't do anything because you'll be immediately observed and it will be stopped.
Yeah.
But yet they're allowed to put all of this crap onto the internet and don't seem to be stopped.
That's a good point. Like, no one's trying to censor them from spreading their ideas about the flat earth. Like,
right. If they had really shot, like, in the truth, they'd be like, I know the truth. Why are they allowed to put it on the internet and tell everybody?
Like, if they're being monitored all the time, why aren't they shut down?
I know now.
Oh, what is it?
It's so that you can keep tabs on the people that really know all of this.
Oh.
I mean, you could just kill them and end that right there.
Flat Earth asshole, get out. They know what you know because you keep telling them what you know.
You just told them everything.
You tell them everything you know.
And they don't kill you. I don't know why they'll just kill him.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why wouldn't you? If somebody stumbles on the truth and starts blabbering about it, why don't you just like lock them up in an insane asylum or just get rid of them altogether? Why would you let them just keep undermining your global conspiracy?
Part of me is hoping the Flat Earth asshole is going to respond to this video or to this.
Well, if you've got something that's going to respond, it's going to be this one.
It will be him, because like most of his video are Flat Earth asshole versus video I found on the internet.
Because a video you find on the internet can't fight back.
Yeah, like Flat Earth asshole versus Cool Hard Logic is probably my favorite so far. Because every time Cool Hard Logic points out a very legitimate, point about how the Earth has to be round, he's like, duh, I'm not gonna do it. And then he does this voice that is meant to be an argument against that.
It's not even really a straw man argument. That is just...
So, yeah, he's entertaining. And I think I might put this episode on YouTube just hoping that
just
he'll find
it. Just to troll it in there.
Just hoping he'll find it and do a video about me where he does that voice for me every time I speak.
You should then make that your ringtone.
Yes. So, yeah, I might put this one on YouTube.
Do it. You should. I was like, if there's an episode that's going to get Joel a lot of hate mail, Flat Earthers are usually pretty adamant when it comes to, I wouldn't say defending, because it's not really when defending when you just call some people stupid.
Yeah, they're more into attacking the opposition than defending their own.
Yeah, they never defend their own position. It's always, you're an idiot. You can't be round. You're just stupid.
You're blind.
You're a sheeple.
What I hear a lot is your mind isn't open enough to understand the flat earth. I was like, if you were more open-minded, you understand that it has to be a flat Earth. They're like, well, mine's pretty open. I'm seeing your point of view. I'm just saying there's like all these things.
I'm seeing a lot of things that your point of view does not explain in any way that I have to ignore.
Do you know how they calculated the sun is 3,000 miles away?
I saw one where they take an image of the sun and look at the diameter of it. And then they use, like, its new position and look the diameter of it. And then they calculated through some...
Oh, that's a different
batshit. Okay, I saw one that was, like, some batshit geometry.
Mine was pretty simple. It was just, like, if you look at the sun's rays coming down through the atmosphere, they spread out.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I know. I have seen that one,
so it has to be at the top of the triangle.
Yeah.
And they kind of guesstimate that.
They back end some bad trig and go...
They can see this sunlight is hitting over in this part of the flat Earth, and this sunlight is hitting this part, and we know how far that is, so we can figure out how high it is.
Yep.
With maths.
With maths. They use... Pretty much, I don't see much math beyond basic trig.
Yeah.
I don't see anything really beyond basic trig, which you can't really do. That was the problem a lot of our ancestors had before calculus was invented by Sir Isaac Newton, by the way. Or Gottfried Leibniz, if you want to talk about some math history.
Not really.
Okay. So people were trying to solve how the planets moved around. It was a real astronomy issue. How could you predict where the planets were going to be? And it turns out that you need higher level math than just geometry and trig. They realized pretty quickly that things don't go in direct circles. That's another thing that flat earthers kind of throw out in your face when they talk about the eclipses. Like, it's a huge coincidence that the moon is the exact size of the sun and could block it out. Right? Which it is not. And there are different types of eclipses. They've never addressed that either. I get in some issues that there are a thing called annular eclipses. So where the sun and the moon, when they line up, the moon's blocking of the sun isn't exact. And so you actually see like a ring of fire around the outside. And sometimes you have what are called total eclipses, where the moon does completely block the sun. And so you don't see anything, you get darkness. So those are total eclipses, and you have partial eclipses, right? But they usually just go with, well, the moon and the sun are the exact same size. That's a super coincidence, so it can't be real, right? Well, one, no, it's not true. The moon moves in a parabolic orbit, not a perfect circular orbit. And there are eclipses where they don't line up. So can you explain that then? Well, I mean, usually they just gravitate to one particular argument, try to shoot it down, and then don't address any of the other.
Yeah, they'll usually attack the arguer rather than the argument.
Oh, yeah.
And then just change the subject to something that they feel more comfortable with.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Just not a great argumentative strategy and is super transparent.
Oh, yeah.
It's more transparent than the firmament that's obviously over the
Can we talk about celebrities that believe in flat Earth?
That's making me really fucking mad. I'm only aware of Shaq.
There's a rapper who Neil deGrasse Tyson went after a little bit ago.
Okay.
Who also was like flat Earth.
It's not the guy from Death Note, is it? I'm becoming a big fan of his.
I don't know.
I don't know his name yet. He's also in Get Out.
I can't remember who it was, but it was, yeah. There's some rapper who was also like, it's totally flat. Look it up, yo. And I'm like, and then Dr. Shaquille O'Neal, like you're seeing that thrown around on every flat Earth website
himself.
Dr. Shaquille.
Oh, Shazam. Shazam is a DC character.
Yeah.
Kazam,
the genie.
Wee genie.
Now, my issue with that is most celebrities don't really go to college, right?
Yeah, there's...
Or if they do, they're usually...
There's Natalie Portman, and I can't think of anyone else.
I mean, James Franco. Oh, no. He's got a bunch of degrees.
I'm sure a lot of them went to college.
Well, a lot of them go to college for... Well, if it's theater people, they go for theater. But if you think like child actors, people who started as child actors, I don't think their education is all that great.
Yeah, I don't want to.
Their pedigree is...
I really don't know.
No, I think like with the anti-vaxxers, and you get a bunch of celebrity anti-vaxxers. What the fuck do they know about biology? Nothing. They know nothing about science. They are actors, but they're very charismatic at it.
But they act like they know about science.
They can act a lot about what they know about science. And so they come up with this authority, like they know what they're talking about in nothing. So I usually hate it when I hear celebrities start talking about science or something like that. And I'm like, they don't.
But it's just because they have a megaphone through their own fame. They have a built-in megaphone.
And people who are willing to believe them because they are famous.
Yeah.
Which I always have a problem with. So I'm like... No, even if there's an actor saying something that I would believe in, I'm still like, no, please don't. Don't do it. I don't know if you don't really know what you're talking about. No.
We should also say that the flat Earth conspiracy is an offshoot of the fake moon landing conspiracy.
Oh, they have to, right?
Yeah.
You can't have gone to the
moon. Yeah, we can't have gone to the moon.
Yeah.
In the flat Earth model.
Because the moon is either a hologram or very tiny or
yeah,
you can't get through the firmament or...
That's another thing. Like, some flat earthers believe the moon and the sun are inside the firmament. Some believe it's out. They're outside.
Oh, man. It's all over the place.
Yeah. I was like, if it's inside the firmament's only max 40,000 feet up. Why can't you, like, shoot a missile at the sun or something?
There is one. I saw there's a YouTube video where somebody has, like, a big, like, model rocket they shoot upwards. And it peters out. And they've got a camera on it. And they go, look, it stopped rotating. It stopped going up. It must have hit the firmament.
Wow. I saw another one where it's like... When the space program started and NASA discovered that there's a firmament there, then they started launching nuclear weapons at it.
Oh.
So there's like these low orbit nuclear weapons tests that I don't know if that actually happened.
We did one.
Did we do one?
We okay. did one.
This video claimed there were dozens and dozens.
No, because it fucked up our magnetosphere so badly that we never did it again. They did it. It wasn't in the Bikini Atoll area, but it was in that South Pacific region where we did a lot of our nuclear testing. And so this goes into more science and also other flat Earth theory. I've been trying to read some, how do they tackle some other nuances like Earth's magnetic field, right? How do you have a magnetic field on a flat Earth?
Through
and how's
magic.
It look? The best explanation I saw was that you can have magnets that are disc magnets, right? And so the magnetic field goes over across the face of the disc, and that would be like a magnetic field. The only problem with that is the flux or the intensity of the magnetic field would be really strong at the middle, but really weak on the outside.
Right.
So that would mean like Australia, which I like to pick on, I don't know why, would have less of a magnetic field.
Australia comes up a lot, actually, as an example in various flat Earth things.
Oh, good.
I guess that's fine.
I'm fine with that then. Or we could say South America as well. The magnetic field there would be very weak, and at the North Pole would be incredibly strong.
Yes.
Because an aurora borealis is produced by charged particles from the sun entering our atmosphere. And one of the things about charge is that when a charge moves in a magnetic field, it gets pushed around. Turns out magnetism and electricity are two sides of the same coin. This is why Magneto is the most powerful mutant, by the way. Because if he can control magnetics, he can also control electricity. He has powers of both.
But Johnny, it has to be pointed out that this is all your crazy globetard
theory that I can
science that you've made up.
Sure,
you've just bought into the you know.
I guess that's how motors work.
NASA
I guess
wants you to believe.
This would just be how motors function. That you can put electricity in and get motion out, and you use magnetics as part
no,
of that. But
it's all
that's
made up.
But fuck me, I don't know what I'm talking about. Right?
It's all made up garbage.
My three engineering degrees are all bullshit.
Yep.
I'm in the conspiracy.
They're based, it's like you're in the Matrix. They're based in a rule
set that's not real.
Down. Yeah.
We can talk about why I hate those theories in a minute, too. So we were talking about, okay, so the aurora borealis, charged particles come in, they enter our magnetic field, and they get pulled to the poles, because that's the way that our field lines end up. The charged particles end up getting moved to the north and the south of the poles.
Sure.
So I was like, how do you have an aurora borealis in the south if you don't have a concentrated pole to pull charged particles to? Because they have aurora borealis inside the southern lights, mm-hmm. as much as we have the northern lights. Those are what auroras are. And this is where I got the radial disc magnet thing, where I was like, but that means that the magnetic field of the Earth would be thinner because it's spread out over a larger area and more concentrated at the center. So you wouldn't really have an aurora in the south like you would in the north. They wouldn't work that way. And so it was all, again, one of those like, wait, what? This doesn't fucking add up. Once you know like a little bit more science than just kind of the general, like, I don't know, what you would get in a pamphlet. Is there a science pamphlet you can read?
I guess.
But it was just like, oh my fucking God, none of this is adding up. How do planes work around in this magnetic field then? How can we show that the magnetic field of the Earth moves around with time? It's not stationary. There is a pole, the North Pole where Santa lives. And then there's a magnetic north.
That's right. I remember this from years ago.
Yes.
The magnetic north moves.
Yes. And the magnetic north moves. And our theory, again, nobody's been to the center of the Earth to prove it, is that there's a lot of hot molten material down at the center. And it stays hot because there's a lot of heavy uranium and radioactive material down there. Iron, nickel. A lot of the heavier metals have congealed down into the solid that's in this hard, hot core of the Earth. That's basically pretty liquidy. It stays pretty hot. So as the Earth turns, this stuff in the center is also churning around, that creates our poles. Now, it's not stable. They move around with time.
Right.
So I've never heard any explanation for to come up with these, I would say, like, other problems that they would have to address. Like, in a flat Earth model, how do the poles move around? How do the magnetic north? And because you wouldn't have magnetic north, right? Your poles should line up. You're on a flat Earth. Well, how do you even generate a magnetic field?
It's hard to argue with someone who, at the end of the day, believes it's intelligent design. It's like, oh, God just gives you a magnet.
But that's such a lazy fucking answer.
I know, but that's how religion works sometimes. It's like, it's just...
You just have to believe
it. It's just designed by the creator, yeah. And we don't really understand his methods.
This gets into why I hate these kind of theories. How does that get you anything as far as using that for technology? Or, because let's face it, human beings, we've eked out some of the rules of the universe, scratched them out of the dirt out of our own fucking ignorance, right? We know how some of the game is played, and we've used that to build technology, to enhance the quality of our lives, to build spaceships, whether you believe them or not, to build cars, those are pretty obviously real, right? To build cell phones that you can call anybody in the fucking world anytime you want, right? Those all work on the rules of science and how we've figured out just a few of the rules and how to play the game.
Yeah.
Magic and shit like that says that the rules can be changed, right? The rules are mutable. That's what magic means.
Mm-hmm.
The rules of the universe can be changed at any time. You do the right writ, you say the right things, you pray to the right whatevers. Suddenly the rules are all different. They're not fixed in stone. But that has gotten us nothing, ever. We've never built anything out of that.
But if you believe in a prehistoric time where God was more active in the human beings' everyday lives and was turning water into wine and parting seas, then that is magic. That's what you're talking
right.
about.
Right, or that the rainbow was the covenant of God that he'd never flooded us again.
And if you believe that, there's no reason to believe that it's not still happening, and then you can just ignore everything else that comes along.
But then were there rainbows before God flooded the earth?
There weren't, according to the Bible.
Right.
But according to, you know,
the laws of physics,
refracted light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Light bends when it goes across the medium boundary, and it bends.
Yeah.
Rainbows, according to that logic, have always existed. If you're going to say it was all magic, and usually this is what it devolves into, those kind of arguments always end up with, well, maybe the universe was created last week and God just put all that memory in your mind that it existed beforehand. I'm like, well, if up was fucking down, then really would it matter? Like, that argument that, like, I'm going to water the argument down so much that none of us are right, but I am.
And with that, let's try to talk about the guilty pleasures of something related to
flat Earth.
Of the flat earthers.
All right. I'm going to give you, I already have yours ready.
Okay.
It came to my mind just in this moment.
I actually have one for you too. So good. I thought about it earlier.
I didn't think about it. It just came to my mind now because it's something we didn't talk about that I want you to expand upon.
Okay.
I want you to talk about the guilty pleasure that is the world turtle. So one
you mentioned the world turtle.
One of the theories, and this is one that I don't, when you start to look the history up, it gets real wonky. It was one of the ideas that's under there is that the earth is held upon four elephants that ride upon a giant turtle in space. The Discworld theory is where it eventually gets made fun of in the Discworld. So what is the guilty pleasure of the turtle?
On which the earth is sitting.
Yes.
On four elephants.
Which is held aloft by four elephants.
Which are all stationary? Or do the turtles and the elephants move?
Well, the elephants are still compared to the turtle because they're on its back. But then what does the turtle ride on, you could say? Is it in nothingness? Or is the turtle upon a bigger turtle and it's all turtles all the way down?
Well, I think the turtle's swimming through nothingness, first of all.
Like, okay,
that seems obvious right off the bat.
And if the turtle swims through space at exactly the rate of gravitational acceleration, you would feel your own weight.
Yeah, but if it ever changes, we're pretty fucked.
Oh, yeah.
Which might negate what I think its guilty pleasure is, but what do you think Copernicus's guilty pleasure is?
Ooh, who came up with the heliocentric model?
Yeah.
Who developed the heliocentric model?
Because it might be the same one I'm thinking of for the turtle.
Oh, man.
Because I think the turtle loves chaos.
Oh.
Because there's actually a giant turtle in Stephen King's It.
Yes, and which is a reference in Gunslinger as well.
Okay. And
the Shardak, I think, Shardak's the bear. I can't remember the name of the turtle.
I don't remember the name of the turtle. They just call it a giant turtle. I haven't quite finished the book
yet. See the turtle of enormous girth. Upon his back rides the earth, I think is the rhyme for it.
But yeah, basically there's two eternal entities in It. One is It and one is this giant fucking turtle. So I imagine this is the same turtle that, you know, the earth is riding on.
Yes.
And I think that turtle in that book doesn't interfere with men's lives.
Oh, a non-interventionist turtle.
I think it's kind of like Ryuk in Death Note, where it's just like, it just likes a good story. It's like, I'm just gonna put everything these humans need to destroy each other on the planet.
I love that idea. I'm an eternal turtle. I have nothing going on for the next billion years. So let's stir the pot a little bit.
Yeah. So I think that's what the turtle does.
Wow.
That's all he can take pleasure in. Or it can take pleasure in.
Yeah.
No, no reason to assume the god turtle is a he.
I think you're right. Well, if the god turtle was a she, that would make sense, because then the moon would be a egg of the god turtle. I like this, Joe.
The moon is an egg in an episode of Doctor Who. It's like a dragon egg.
Wow.
A giant dragon thing.
Fuck that.
Yeah.
So I got to do the guilty pleasure of Copernicus.
Copernicus.
Now, I know Copernicus's life story. He's Polish. And he was a very devout Catholic.
Yes.
So he would never sow chaos in that way to upend the model of the geocentric. He explicitly wrote that he was not trying to upend the geocentric model.
He's like, guys,
I'm just doing some math.
I'm really sorry. I put some numbers on a page, and I think maybe
it makes sense.
A little bit different in every way.
Yeah. He basically wrote that, you know, I'm not trying to upend anything. I'm a mathematician, and look, the numbers just happen to work out that when you put the sun in the fucking middle, it helps. I like picturing
this very meek Copernicus, like, yeah, guys,
I don't want
to... I hate to put this out here, believe me.
Ooh, his guilty pleasure, though, I'm 100% sure, was writing science fiction in 1640.
He would have invented science fiction, then.
Not quite.
No?
There was a guy who wrote science fiction. We named stuff after him. He Tycho Brahe and Kepler. Kepler wrote science fiction back in his day. Gotcha. He wrote about a boat that would fly to the moon and that his mom was a witch.
Sounds like fantasy to me, not science fiction, but all right.
Well, you know, a boat was the biggest technology in his day. You know what, man? People are going to read our science fiction and be like, The Matrix? God, that's like fantasy land.
That's true. Maybe the line between fantasy and science fiction is just time.
It is, because remember, there's a line in Serenity or in Firefly where they're like, you live on board a spaceship.
It's like, she's a psychic? Sounds like something out of science fiction. You live on board a spaceship.
He's like, so? And he has Alan Tudyk gets has no concept that was like at all a weird thing to live inside of a spaceship.
The line between science fiction and reality is also time.
You are correct.
It's a globe.
It's a fucking globe. It's the turtle fucking with us.
Oh man, this is getting weird.
So his guilty pleasure is to write science fiction, but really erotic science fiction about and what would an alien look like in his life? It was an angel, right? Those are the aliens in his world, and they come down and they fuck man, and they make minotaurs, and they make what's like a reverse minotaur?
I don't know. Just a guy.
and then this is where all this Greek mythology comes from. He's like writing all the scientific fan fiction for Greek mythology and how it fits in his like worldview.
Nice.
And so like a centaur, right? That's like a man horse. Could you have like a deer tar? A mermaid is like a fish tar, right? That's like the lower half is a fish, but the upper half is a person. It's a fish tar. So like he's writing about all these weird animal hybrids that you can just fuck for fun. That I do that.
It makes sense that you feel bad about that, being a devout Catholic.
Oh, he feels terrible. Well, since he was a devout Catholic, I could argue that everything was his guilty pleasure. Anything he did, he took pleasure in, he was guilty about.
Yeah. You have to feel guilty about everything.
You do, I think. So that was his guilty pleasure, writing just dirty erotic fan fiction about.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm a fan.
I'm also a fan of this world turtle idea.
Yeah.
I think we should all praise the turtle.
Yeah, that's the only deity that makes sense to me.
It really does. I love, and it's non-interventionist. That's totally a deity I can grow behind.
Yeah.
He doesn't fuck with me. He just like watches my life. He's always watching. Masturbating, maybe. I don't know.
With his massive turtle cock.
God. Or vagina.
Or vagina. It's probably hermaphroditic. Probably has both.
Oh. Man, this turtle is just fucking arousing. I think Copernicus would write about this turtle climbing inside the urethra of the world turtle.
All right, well, we should wrap up. Plugs, recommendations, anti-plugs.
I think I plugged science last time, but I am going to plug the 1996 soundtrack to the TV show X-Files.
Okay.
It is a fantastic fucking soundtrack.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What do I want to plug?
I mean, your own network, obviously.
Yeah.
Since flat earthers are going to listen to this and just be fucking livid about this the whole time.
Might as well spread the hate around.
Yeah.
Go check out the other podcasts on the network.
I think the Countdown, right? They're
in Australia.
They're in Australia. So
they're currently upside down.
They're underneath you right now.
So, the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews, Cadaver Cast, and Dealing with Philip are the other Word Salad Productions. Go check them out. I started watching a movie last night that I really like. I'm going to finish it probably today, called What Happened to Monday on Netflix. It's a Netflix original. It's this really cool dystopian sci-fi movie about these seven septuplets who live in a world where siblings are illegal.
And they have to hide and pretend to be...
Yeah, so they all pretend to be the same woman.
Yeah.
Like, they've collectively created one personality for all seven of them, while they each have their own individual personalities.
Yeah, and trying to live their lives.
Yeah, and so suddenly Monday goes missing, and it's about them trying to figure out what's happening and getting entangled with the government. It's really picking up. It's really cool. So, and Noomi Rapace, I think is her name.
All right.
Is really good at the seven different... Like, she really delivers seven different performances.
Wow, that's awesome. Like, kind of like Orphan Black, where...
Yeah.
All right. I would also plug Train to Busan. I listened to your episode on Train to Busan. It was fantastic. It's like, this is such a fucking good movie.
It is a really good movie.
Yeah.
Any anti-plugs? Anything you want to recommend people not watch?
Not watch? That's like a waste of your time?
Yeah.
I know, I watch a lot of things that's a waste of my time.
I'm pretty sure I already anti-plugged Death Note.
Oh, man. Yeah, I can't stress that enough. No, I reverse that. Watch the Netflix Death Note. Be pissed. Be like, oh, okay. I don't get why people are mad. Then go watch the animated Death Note and be livid about it.
Yes. That might be the best order to watch it. Like, you have to. So good. The movie got everything wrong.
Yeah, but then they just screwed it. If it had just been a story in the Death Note universe, I'd have been fine with it.
I would have been mostly fine with it, except for the end. Yeah.
Yeah. I could have swallowed a lot of it and been like, oh, this is kind of like, this is Ryuk has done this before and he'll do it again.
Yep. Yeah. Totally down for that.
That would have been a great ploy to this movie, but they were like, no, we're just going to try to copy this great, three season series? I think it went three seasons.
Yeah. It's like 37 episodes.
Yeah. And then just shit on it.
Yep.
Usually with guilty pleasures, I'm trying to plug something good. Yeah.
That's true.
Enjoy your guilty pleasure, people. Whatever it is. Speaking of guilty pleasures, I haven't sent you any Snapchats lately.
That's true, yeah. They always entertain me to no end.
Yay! I was talking about making a Facebook post out of it at some point, but then I was like, these are just for Joe. I don't need to share these with everybody.
Just for me.
Unless you're like, share them with the world, please.
I sometimes think to save them, like when you text them or like...
Yeah, send a message as a message.
Yeah. I will usually save them so I can show them to other people.
I don't know Snapchat well enough to like know the difference between sending messages and sending snaps. So.
Well, we should wrap up.
Wrap it up.
My Twitter is @play_architect. The podcast Twitter is @quoteguilty. You can find us at facebook.com/quoteunquoteguilty. Email us at quoteunquoteguilty@gmail.com. Or contribute to our Patreon page at patreon.com/wordsalad, which supports the aforementioned Word Salad podcasts.
And you get Patreon exclusives.
Yes, and there's Patreon exclusive content.
I'm a particular fan of Autopsy.
I have a new Blockbuster Autopsy that I just have to edit and put out.
Yes!
I keep meaning to do that, but things got pretty hectic the last month, getting ready for class. So, yeah. Thanks, John. As always, for coming on. This was a blast.
If you want to talk more science stuff anytime, let me know. Homeopathy should be our next one.
Maybe we'll do homeopathy at some point, because that sounds fun, too.
we can talk about why there's no more Steve Jobs.
All right. Good night, everybody.
This podcast is a Word Salad production. Wonky Oranges, Righteous Dragons.
I'm done with this.